Friday. You're probably hunting early, aren't you? You might even be out there now. Maybe you started Monday. Or maybe you're getting ready for the weekend hunt. We're going to do that. Cabela's manager here in Billings, Nicole Pugliano, will join us. She's here in studio to tell us the real truth about where she hunts for all the big game. Oh, wait, I tried that already. She told me nothing. That's okay. We'll keep working. And a bit later on, too, Western District Congressional candidate Ryan Zinke is going to join us by phone. Those few last-minute campaign questions, as that's just right around the corner, too. So as we get ready for the big hunt, you join us today on Voices of Montana. That'd be super. Cody?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Hey.
Do that thing that you do, that voice you do.
It's time for the fastest radio hour for Montana, from Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today, 866-627-5483, or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz!
Nicole just took her headset off and left. She can't possibly put up with this for the next 30 minutes or so. Yeah, I'm sure you can. Welcome, everybody. It is Friday. It is from Montana for Montana, two decades strong, and we're working on three. It's super to have you here. And, you know, it's Friday, so only two more working days this week. Maybe you get a chance to look outside or something from your chained to your desk 24/7, 360. No. We live here for a reason, right? And so I hope you're out there. And again, welcome. I talked about Nicole. She's standing right over here, or sitting right over here. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. How are you, Tom?
You're still here after Cody put up that embarrassing
I am.
Display. Good.
It's okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay.
Being normal is overrated. It's good to be weird.
Hey, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I was teasing you, and I on the board downstairs, we have like a welcome board, and I put up Nicole, welcome. And then we put like a title, and her title now is Tight-Lipped Hunter, because I could not get where to hunt, where Nicole's special place to hunt is. But that's okay. Let's just keep it that way. And I might get it out of you at some point here.
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, you never know.
I love that. Yeah. Thanks for being here. You just actually this morning spoke to a gathering, an egg breakfast put on by the chamber here, manager, of course, of Cabela's in Billings. And that topic, I think, is something that's important to talk about, this landowner and this hunter relationship. Why don't you start off with some of the first things that, you know, that fall upon you impression-wise when you think about the hunter and landowner relationship?
You know, the relationship is something that we need to cultivate. I think as hunters, we just can't be showing up a week before hunting season and say, hey, can I come hunt in your property? But it's really building that relationship and being there for the rancher and showing them that it's just not, you know, about taking animals off their property, but helping them out, being stewards of the land with them and working in cooperation with them.
Is that, I think, what's the motivation behind land hunters that, or landowners, I should say, that, as you talked about, maybe it's culling the deer population as well. But I think there's more to it, isn't there? I mean, don't they have a real respect for the tradition of hunting and a real respect for, you know, just being neighborly in that regard?
They do. I mean, both of us are conservation based, yeah. Right? We both are stewards of the land. We want, you know, the land to be balanced and to be productive for both the ranching community and for the wildlife. So there's a great way to be connected to those people and to help out. And everybody wins when we can do that.
How do landowners want to be connected? How do they want to be communicated with?
You know, that's a really good question. I think really they want that personal touch. You know, it's not just texting them or emailing them. You know, you do have to go door to door a little bit. You have to not be afraid to go knock on someone's door. And I know that it can be very intimidating. For someone like me who's not from the West, where, you know, you're neighborly and you're friendly, you know, I'm from the East Coast, so we're a little standoffish. But that going up there and talking with them, getting to know them, you know, knocking on those doors and saying, hey, here I am. Let's talk. Ranchers and the community likes that face to face and to put a face with a name and get a feel. You can't get a feel for somebody over the phone or over a text. So it's that really personal connection that you need to make.
Yeah. And oftentimes If you're hunting on somebody's land, there is a personal connection. Mm-hmm. Do you encourage would-be hunters to communicate and maybe reach out without those connections? As you say, knock on a door, hello, or call. My name is Tom, and I'm a hunter. Can I, in a couple of weeks, maybe come by? Does that happen?
Yeah, it does happen.
Really?
Yeah, it does. Yep. You just got to keep going. Don't get downtrodden because you got a couple of rejections, right? You got to collect some no's before you find that yes. So don't get discouraged when, for whatever reason, the rancher chooses not to say no. Maybe he's already got too many people or he's got, you still only want so many people on your land, right? And maybe the beginning of the season, there's a no, but at the end of the season, it might be more open because everybody's harvested their animals or maybe now they've moved to their area and it's more problem for the crops. So just don't get discouraged.
I don't know. Maybe it's Friday, but I picture in my mind somebody you're walking up to this farmer's door and you don't even really get kind of into the driveway. And the first thing you go is, wow, that's a nice looking gun there, sir. I'm not with the government. I'm here. Anyway, that's just a picture that I'll erase now. So more about this land, this relationship. How long has it been being created and formatted around here?
Right. This state has this really great program. The Block Management Program is an awesome program. I've had the opportunity to live in a lot of states, and this is the only state that has it. I haven't seen it anywhere. So that's a great start. It gets you connected with those people, and that's how you kind of start networking. And you just keep building those relationships and building those relationships. And it's showing up in the off season. Right. What does the rancher need? Not only is there hunting season, right? We think about big game, deer, elk, all that. A lot of them have prairie dog problems, mm-hmm. coyote problems, badger problems, right? It's showing up on those off seasons to kind of help all year round and not just when we want to harvest something.
Well, tell us more about that then. I mean, because that would be something I would personally think, this person doesn't really want me in their business, want me to bug them. I want to help, but I'm embarrassed to ask or I don't know how to ask.
That's how you do it. You just go up and ask, what can we do for you? And maybe it's not even the hunting piece of it.
Yeah.
It can be, hey, are you harvesting? How can I help with that? It's going up and saying, I can help you mending fences. What day are you doing that? I'll come up and help. Right. What kind of tools do you need? What supplies are you short on? I will bring those with me. And it doesn't have to be just that hunting scenario, but helping how you can, whenever you can. Are they building a new irrigation ditch? Are they raising a barn? What are they doing that you can help them just be an extra pair of hands and build that? Again, we're building that relationship.
Nicole Pugliano is with us. She's a tight-lipped hunter and a general manager at Cabela's in Billings here. And a bit later on, Ryan Zinkel will join us. I'm Tom Schultz. Thanks for joining us here. So, again, this relationship and growing. I get relationships that that grow. But one of the things that you kind of talked about too is as helping the landowner as you're out there as well. When they say, hey, if you see a few coyotes out there, help yourself. That's the sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's again just being that good steward. I keep going back to that.
Well, it's a good phrase.
It's a good just helping them out. And you say, I took a couple coyotes for you. Maybe I didn't harvest anything. One of the things that we like to do is after the day's hunt, sometimes we'll go up to the ranch and see if the rancher's home, right? And then just talk about what we saw. Hey, the herd is over on the eastern slope, or we saw grizzly bear tracks over, in the culvert. Just keeping them appraised of what's happening on their property. We noticed what your little waterway that you have is kind of drying up. Just, I didn't know if you were aware. Mm-hmm. We noticed that there's some damage. We kind of fixed the fence a little bit, but I don't necessarily carry baling wire in my backpack, but information available and then offering to help. Hey, I'll jump on the ATV with you. Let's go fix it real quick.
Oh, that's really cool. I pulled 6 knapweeds. I'm sorry, you're not going to get patted on the back for that, but do that anyway, right? Does the state help? I mean, and I know that they're part of when you talk about the block management program, and I was curious that that they're, it's kind of unique to Montana. How are our policies helping to create a good and friendly and cooperative land owner hunter relationship?
I don't know the answer to that.
So the block through then through the block management program,
right?
I guess that's one way,
right?
Because the state does manage that as
well.
Talk more about that. Is it have you seen it now? How long have you been the manager in Billings here?
I've been in the store since it opened. I've been the store manager for about 3 or 4 years now.
Okay, so, but you've been hunting here quite a while.
So
talk more about the block management program and maybe how it operates and if there's ways that. It can operate better. Is it growing? Is it shrinking? Does it need more financial resources, do you think? What are hunters telling you?
You know, I think it fluctuates from year to year. You see properties fall off, whether they've been sold or whether, you know, they've been inherited by someone and this person no longer wants the block management, whether it's hunter abuse, you know, we do have to think about that and talk about that. Are we being courteous? Are we not trashing the place? Are we not leaving garbage laying everywhere? That's really probably one of the biggest things that landowners don't appreciate, and I totally get that. But you know, it's a great program in that you get a place to start, and you get to. There's two different parts of block management. There's the type one and the type two. The type one are the ones where you can just go sign in. There's a little box. You fill out the little sheet, and you go. You have self permission to go in that day. You don't know how many people are going to be on the property that day when you have a type one, but most of them are pretty spacious, and you can kind of tell those kinds of things. Your type two are the ones where you have to go talk to the landowner, get signed up with them personally. Some of them will just say, hey, you're signed up. Great to go. You can go all season. Some of them want to say, what days do you want to pick? Because they want to control how many people are actually on the property. So you just need to be aware which one you've got and making sure that you're filling out, especially on the type one, you're filling out those little sheets every day because that's how the landowners get credit through FWP. I don't know what kind of payments or, you know, that they get from FWP, but that's how they get credit from FWP. So we need to be good stewards there too.
Well, and I think FWP is conscious of the risk to their property, or at least conscious of trying to get some remuneration or reimbursement for that to keep that service viable. Do you think, and I know this is, again, just an esoteric question, but do you think there's without private land and these relationships, we wouldn't have the hunting tradition, I think. Is there enough land to hunt on without this?
Personally, I would say no, but, you know, again, but it's just getting to know who those landowners are and finding out. I think there's more landowners willing to let you on than we believe. It's just putting yourself out there and willing to take those risks and go talk to people door to door. But the block management is a really great way to start, especially we've got a lot of new people moving into the state. They're just, you know, unfamiliar. And it's just a great way to at least start and get to know how FWP works, how the Montana laws work as far as hunting regulations and that kind of thing. So there's really great benefits to the program.
What was the kind of feedback that you got as you spoke about this morning at the egg breakfast from the landowners? What was the kind of feedback on that?
You know, it was really a great conversation starter. Again, it was that kind of don't just let us see you during hunting season. Let us see you year round, right? And being respectful and helping out. That piece of really just being willing to help out. And not just, it can't be a one-way relationship. It can't be the landowner saying, yeah, come on, hunt, and then the hunters don't give anything back. We have to give something back and make it a two-way street.
And what can we give? You kind of talked about it a little bit more, but what can we give back?
Our time, really, is the most important thing we can give them. What do they need help with? And again, being there on the off-season, right? Being there in the spring. Do they need help branding? Do they need help doing fences? Do they need help just baling hay? Do they need, I came to one of the hunters, landowners I work with, I came up one day and they were trying to put tarps over their hay bales. Yep. And I just stopped and said, hey, let me help you, you know? And they're like, here, tie this down in a knot. I'm like, I don't know how to do knots. I'll hold the rope till you get here. But just that little bit, right? That extra set of hands. That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's a lot of work out there. I know that, too. Let's take that break, and then we'll come on back with more here. I want to kind of talk about some of the new stuff, the cool tech that's out there. And also, if there is a, like a hunting place that you know of that you would never want anybody else to know of, you know, what would that be? right, yeah. Back with more Voices here. Nicole Pugliano's with us in just a bit.
AARP Montana brings the voice of the consumer to the Capitol in Helena. As one of Montana's largest nonprofits, we work to protect Montanans from fraud, support family caregivers, lower prescription drug prices, and protect Social Security and Medicare. We fight for all Montanans, helping people choose how they live and how they age. Stay up to date on how we're fighting for you. Sign up to receive legislative alerts at aarp.org/get involved.
Well, you partied all night, never made it to our bunks, and I was sitting in the tree stand on a tree day drunk. Wind was blowing 45, temp 30 below. I was freezing to death, then it started to snow. So I got down from the tree stand, start heading for the truck, and that's when I seen it there.
The 30-point buck. Ah, yeah. Hey, welcome back. Go ahead and play that as I chat here underneath a little bit. We're back, Voices of Montana. Talking about some hunting here. Nicole Pugliano's with us, tight-lipped hunter, general manager at Cabela's in Billings. I know I teased her. And we are getting like a winter storm coming in here, and that's not so bad for hunting. It's probably good for business too.
It's good for hunting. It's good for business, but it makes finding your game easier, right? They blend into the background of the trees, but when there's snow, they stand out. It's easier to obviously trail them once you've made that shot. So yeah. Snow's good.
No, snow is good, but like 30-mile-an-hour wind and snow is not
so much. No.
And sometimes all you're going to get is the wind, too. It's going to be cold and windy this weekend. Good luck to the hunters out there. Nicole, is there, again, you know, speaking to this breakfast this morning in front of the ag community, is there anything else that we left off of that? I guess one of the things I'm curious about is when I go and hunt on somebody's land, again, very thankful for that, and we try to do the pay it forward sort of thing. I always appreciate knowing where the stock is.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did they talk about that?
Yeah, they do. And, you know, we do, you know, as hunters want to say that too. Hey, my husband and I will take a look and we'll be like, well, that's a weird place. Why is that cow over there by itself? Or, you know, even if we, heaven forbid, find one that has, you know, been maybe taken by wolves or what have you, we let them know, hey, we saw a carcass, you know, and either they're aware or they aren't, you know, just again, kind of letting them know what you see out there and what the property's going, what's going on out there and how everything's looking.
Yep. And also knowing, I guess, the limitations of the property too, because as you said, there's some that are, you know, 1,000 acres and some that are just going to be 60, 70 acres.
Yep. Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you talk about hunting and where my hunting spot is. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, hunting is just luck. It really is. You're just in the right place at the right time. The herd is coming through. And, you know, you got to know the property kind of to know those kinds of things. But so working with those landowners and building that relationship so you can be out there and learn that property.
That's really cool. That does happen in Montana, that we have those long-term relationships. And people do know how to hunt their lands and are very respectful, and I appreciate that. So what is cool? What's cool out there in the world of, and I'm curious because I'm kind of looking at a rifle, and I just as I admit here, I've not been a hunter for a lot of years. In fact, haven't been, but maybe for the past 3 or 4 years doing it on a more regular basis. What kind of gun should I get?
You know, there's lots of good calibers out there. And there's people are pretty passionate about what's the best one and what's going to work best. You know, I know the 6.5 Creedmoor gets a lot of hate.
Really?
Yes, it does. But it's a good caliber, you know. It's all about shot placement. I would say I've used my husband's 6.5 a couple years ago and my elk went down just fine.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's what you're comfortable with. You got to know how something's going to kick. You know, and what calibers are too much? What kind of game are you going after? You know, I also learned, you know, 300 Win Mag, maybe just a touch too big for an antelope. Just a touch.
I would like to see that picture, see that proof, you know. Are there more women in the hunting now?
Yes, there are. You know, being Montana and what we are, I think the state, generally speaking, has more women mm-hmm. that hunt, but we have seen that increase. We are seeing an increase in that youth and that next generation coming up, which is really great because that's always the biggest fear. You got to teach that next generation or the tradition dies. All right. So, yeah, there's really great interest in hunting over the past couple of years, and it's continuing to grow.
What's a good caliber for a woman?
For a woman, you know?
Or is that sexist of me to even say?
It kind of is, but there are certain things you have to take into account. You have to take into account somebody's body frame, mm-hmm. how big they are, how strong they are. I mean, rifles can get heavy if you put a scope on there, you put all this, you know, everything you need, and they do get heavy, and you've got to be comfortable. You know, so a good all-around caliber, you know, anywhere from that 270, 25-06, 30-06 might start getting a little big. I do shoot a 300. That is my rifle. A lot of people are surprised by that, but I have a nice suppressor on it. I had a nice muzzle flash. It's a really good. I can shoot it. It's a Tika. Love it to pieces.
Where do you go when you shoot that thing?
Wherever my heart desires, Tom.
Okay.
Nice try.
Yeah. Going to take a break. Nicole Pugliano from Cabela's here in just a bit.
The out-of-touch politicians are at it again. Joe Biden and the Washington Democrats spent big, slashed oil production, and prices have soared. But Matt Rosendale fought to stop Biden's reckless spending and the inflation that's making gas, groceries, and medicine cost more. He'll take on anyone, from big government spenders to big tech companies and bureaucrats. And he'll work to keep more money in your pockets, grow better-paying jobs by cutting through government red tape and lower taxes for Montana families. Matt Rosendale has a proven track record of fighting to cut spending and hold government accountable. When Biden slowed U.S. oil production to a trickle, increasing the cost of fuel, Matt supported American energy independence and developed our energy resources here at home, helping lower prices. Bad news for the foreign oil cartels, but good news for you. Matt Rosendale, standing up for Montana, standing up for you.
I'm Matt Rosendale. I approve this message.
Paid for by Matt Rosendale for Montana.
We'll get a call here soon from Western District Congressional candidate Ryan Zinke. Some of those last-minute campaign questions upcoming here on Friday on Voices of Montana. Tom Schultz alongside in studios Nicole Pugliano, the general manager at Cabela's in Billings. I looked at the history of Cabela's. It's kind of cool, Nicole, where, you know, I think it starts from the right place.
You're right.
Does it carry on?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great company to work for. It's a great, you know, big family. We're one big family, and, you know, we get to talk hunting and fishing all day. What's bad about that?
Yeah. Yeah, we were teasing yesterday, you know, we give a lottery, and if you win the lottery, what's the first thing you do? I think my son-in-law would say, I'm going to Cabela's.
There's a lot of people who probably say that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and it would be a blast, that's for sure. How's the hunt been so far? When they come in, they're probably looking for information from maybe someone not so tight-lipped, but and I know that, I'm just teasing you, but how's the hunt been so far?
You know, it seems like the year has kind of continued to be a little slow. The weather has been kind of tough. I know there are animals that have gone down. I know some of the folks who work for me have been successful. But usually we can look out in the parking lot on their way back to wherever they're going, and there's, you know, antlers sticking out of the back of the truck. We just haven't seen quite as much of that this year.
And I know there's always reasons for that. I don't know if it's the population. Some areas, they increase and decrease at different rates in various places. And maybe it's the weather, yeah. I suppose.
Could be weather. Could be, we're dealing with the CWD. You have grizzly bears, you know, moving in or not moving in, depending who you talk to. But there's all sorts of things that cause animals to change their patterns and to move out of one area that they've predominantly been in for years, and now they're someplace else. So,
are we? And this is another question I get from every now and again, and this one on the text message too. How's the ammunition level, so to speak? Are we seeing any kind of concerns for calibers that are being shorted?
We're much better than we were. You know, there are still some. The rifle calibers, 308, got plenty of 308. Give that to you all day long. 6.5s are better. There are some calibers that still come in here or there. So there is still a little bit, but it's getting better every day. Okay. Powder and primers are getting better every day. Reloading supplies are getting better every day. So it is coming back.
What's that one thing, or maybe a couple of things that hunter needs that they may not be aware of that's really going to assist them out in the field?
You know, a good knife, obviously, and I think most of them are aware of that, but even having just a small sharpener in your bag, those elk hides, they're tough, yeah. You know, and your knife can go dull very, very fast. I would also say from personal experience, a first aid kit. Because, you know, if you're working with, like, my husband has a really nice sharp Hevelon, it has the little replacement blades, and he nicked himself, you know. So we did not have a Band-Aid. We found some old electrical tape that he wrapped his finger up in. So a small little first aid kit will save your bacon.
Wow. So where were you at when that happened? Because, you know, that
I was out in the field.
But
it was opening day.
And exactly kind of where, Nicole Bugliano? Tight-lipped hunter. All right. I know where they're at. Anyway,
I could tell you. You know what? I'll narrow it down for you.
Okay, thank you.
I was in Zone 5.
Zone 5.
Zone 5.
All right. Did you find anything?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we see great things in Zone 5. It's tons of animals in Zone 5.
She just lied to me. She was probably in zone opposite 5 is where she was. Hey, I appreciate that. We don't even have any time left here. So thanks for coming in.
Absolutely.
You know, and thanks for speaking to the A groups there as well, and doing what we can. I think it's all on us as hunters as well to create those relationships and make them fortified.
And, you know, we started that conversation today. Anybody who's out there listening, I welcome any comments, any suggestions you have to help. How do we get hunters and landowners together? So call me. Come see me at the store. Love to hear from you.
I'm Montana Supreme Court Justice Ingrid Gustafson. I've been a judge for 20 years, the last 5 on the Montana Supreme Court. I've spent my judicial career fighting to protect your constitutional rights. As we celebrate the 50th anniversary of our Constitution, it disappoints me my opponent is working with people who want to get rid of it. Our unique access to public lands and water, our privacy, our right to clean and healthy environment, gone. Farmers and ranchers know better. Please re-elect me, Justice Ingrid Gustafson, to the Montana Supreme Court.
Paid for by Gustafson for Justice, Billings, Montana.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz.
Oh, I bet this guy's not going to tell me where he's hunting either. I get that, though. Okay, welcome back. It's from Montana for Montana. Tom Schultz alongside the Voices of Montana. It was fun to talk with Nicole here in studio. She did not tell me any secrets off the air either. I mean, but I'll keep working on her, right? All right. And if she does tell me anything, I'll just keep it to myself, too. The commander's with us. He is a Congressional Western District Republican nominee. Again, former congressman in the state of Montana and cabinet member under President Trump, Secretary of the Interior, Navy SEAL. We always talk about him being a footballer as well. That seems to come through in an awful lot of ways, too, and probably a hunter, too. So, Commander Zinke, good morning, sir. How are you?
You know what? I am outstanding. I'm looking forward to the election, and if people come out to vote, we're feeling pretty good. But, Tom, if people don't vote, we're in bigger problems than just this election, and either that people don't see what's going on or they don't care. So we're feeling that people do care, get out and vote, and encourage is take your ballot down in person. Don't leave it to the post office. Just take it out in person and let your voice be heard.
Well, and that's good advice right now, too. I mean, don't put your ballot in the mail because your vote's not going to get there in time and they won't count it in Montana. Montana's not Pennsylvania. What are people saying on the trail? I mean, I'm curious because I'm getting a sense that we're paying a lot more attention now and that we're looking deeper into things, and because we've lost a lot of trust in our government and or other institutions, we're looking to regain that, but we've got to do the hard work ourselves. What do you hear on the road, Ryan?
Well, inflation has taken a toll, you know, high energy costs, inflation, and that rolls over to affordable housing. And so, you know, people are struggling. You know, Montanans don't make a lot of money as a whole, and when you have to pay, you know, $500 out of your pocket a month more, the hidden cost of inflation, you know, it's hurting, and diesel prices. And there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. So to a degree, I'm a little bit of a cheerleader. I'm a Reagan, glasses half full. We need to take action. It's our country. There are steps that we need to take. We need to address energy, bring energy costs back down. That'll bring fertilizer costs back down. We need to work on the supply chain, so we're not held hostage by China and India. And we need to bring transparency and accountability. Tom, I asked the question, you know, is there a federal agency, division, department that has the full trust and confidence of the citizens? And the answer is no. And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
When I grew up. When I grew up, the FBI said something, Tom, and it was gold standard. You could take it to the bank. Today, you know, not so much. The credibility is not there, you know, across the board, and we need to bring transparency and accountability back. That means you need to fire for cause if people aren't doing the right job, if they're not coming to work, if they're not performing, then you need to fire and get people there in there that do the work of the people, and I'm pretty confident that we can.
You led a large federal agency in the Interior Department. This was from 2017 to 2019. So you understand it's called the deep bureaucratic state. How quick does it change? Or I know it doesn't change quick, but what is the process of getting accountability back into those areas where I think we have seen through actions that have been factually reported that they're not being held accountable to the American people?
Well, I think transparency is very important, and accountability. You need to make sure that people are held accountable for actions. And a lot of times, you know, the bureaucrats, mostly in D.C., quite frankly, they're like tenured professors on steroids. Can't move them, can't fire them. You know, you can work with them to possibly get some work done. But even that, in some cases, and our law enforcement. You know, I went through 18 investigations by a department investigators by the same department that I was trying to reform, you know, and we need to rearrange that too, where, you know, right now any complaint can be filed by anybody. By law, that complaint has to be investigated, and that's what a federal investigation looks like. And there has to be a threshold, you know, where there has to be some indication of wrongdoing. You know, in my case, 18 investigations, every one of them came the same thing, is that no conflict of interest, no rules broken, no laws broken, but harassment for sure. And we need to make sure that people can do their job in D.C. But the swamp is deep. You know, I kind of tongue-in-cheek, because I knew it was a swamp. I came in with a set of hip waders. I should have brought a boat. But, you know, the bureaucracy has grown over time, and, you know, I'm pro-defense, Tom. You know I am, but we have 800,000 DOD employees. That's larger than the standing U.S. United States Army.
Wow!
So we've created an army of bureaucrats in some of these departments that don't fight; they just fight for money. So we need to streamline, move into the 21st century, get accountability, and get our government and the swamp out of in control. And I'd say probably not drain it, but break the dam.
The first Navy SEAL to be elected to the United States House of Representatives, a Navy SEAL from 86 to 2008. Commander rose to the level of commander. That's why I call him commander. It fits you too, Ryan. Commander Ryan Zinke is with us here. We talk about the swamp an awful lot. And I don't know how you move the needle in some of those things. And so is there a way to move the needle when it comes to, you know, accountability in those large institutions?
You know, people asked me what the first bill I'd put in, and I said, you know, Federal Employee Accountability and Reduction Act. You know, we should look at ways of doing it more efficiently, better, and hold accountability. And you do need to fire for cause. You know, the cause has to be legitimate, obviously. But you need to have the tools, you know, to bring the bureaucracy working for the people and not for themselves. You know, oftentimes I kind of joke. I said, you know, D.C. wants to control every aspect of the Yellowstone River, but they don't know where the Yellowstone River is. And a lot of times, you know, their view of the Yellowstone comes from Kevin Costner. And, you know, if you really look at it, the first 2 years were filmed in Utah, and it's not in Yellowstone. They're down in Darby, right?
Yeah.
But it's just temptation to power and control, and in many cases, deceit. And we've seen this election. I mean, people just throw out the most outrageous of lies in hopes that someone will buy it. I think Montana's seeing through it, but, you know, we also have to hold elections accountable too. You shouldn't be able to lie at will, you know, about an opponent and kind of focus on what you're going to do. But these outrageous lies just keep coming and coming. I think Montana gets it, and this is what, you know, a lot of people get disgusted about politics because, you know, why would you do that? You know, why would you put your family through that? Why would you have to endure, you know, outrageous accusations. Well, you know, the greater good of the country, because the country's in trouble. But we need to also bring back a little civility and work together to make sure that this country, you know, prospers. Because, you know, we all rise and fall in the same tide, Tom.
Yeah.
It's not like if the country goes down that the Democrats or Republicans or independents are going to win. No, we all lose.
What's most troublesome to you?
You know, the economy, because it doesn't have to be this way. You know, we can, have our energy component where gas can be $2. We do it cleaner, better than anybody else, by the way. It bothers me that we're not looking forward on infrastructure because we're behind. It bothers me overseas that we have no leadership. Afghanistan was a serious blunder, but it's not recognized in some quarters. And I think D.C. has become too powerful. When power becomes in too few hands, then what happens is that it becomes corrupt a lot of times. And I think that's what we're seeing, is that too much power in too few hands, and the corruption, the trust is not there. All this, is, by the way, is fixable. Ironically, Ronald Reagan was elected today, I believe, you know, earlier on this day.
Mm.
So leadership makes a big difference. A tone makes a big difference. And quite frankly, Congress has to do their job. You hire congressmen, so to speak, to go do the job, to make sure you curb the budget, to make sure that government is efficient, transparent. And we've fallen short. When I say we've, Congress has fallen short in delivering something that I think most Americans expect.
I want to get to some campaign. I wouldn't maybe use the word revelations, but some things that you've learned on the campaign trail, you know, that maybe surprised you or maybe caused you to pause and think. But stand by for that, because I want to get a word before we go to break about the Ukrainian conflict.
I'm Montana Supreme Court Justice.
Hang on a second. Go ahead and fade out of that, Cody. Thank you. What's the 60 seconds? And I know it takes more than 60 seconds to kind of explain this, but.
Well, we have no plan, Tom. You know, it seems like we're spending money needlessly because there's no plan. But then again, we had no plan in Afghanistan other than retreat. In Ukraine, there's no plan. Is that we need our allies to step up. You know, where's Europe? Is Europe is closer, but yet Europe's not standing up. The U.S. seems to be paying once again the bill, and we need to make sure that those taxpayer dollars are spent wisely, and it's not a blank check. And we have to have a plan. What's the plan going forward? And right now, I've never seen a plan out of this administration. And what I've seen is retreat and weakness. So get a plan. Address the American people. This is what we're going to do. You know, certainly Putin is a war criminal. There is no doubt about that. Indiscriminate, willing targeting and killing of civilians. That's what makes a person a war criminal. So we should call it the way it is and not dance around the issue.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I know it's a difficult situation, but if we don't address it with some foresight and some hindsight, we're going to probably end up in a more difficult situation. Commander,
well, now you have North Korea launching missiles too. So yep. This is what happens when there's no leadership at the helm.
Yep. That's 1 + 1 = 2. It always does. Back with more in a bit. Congressional Western District Republican nominee Commander Ryan Zinke here on Voices.
Prepare to be shocked. Our power bills are getting jacked up. We can thank special interest lobbyist and public service commissioner James Brown. Brown approved a $92 million increase in our utility bills. In the middle of the worst inflation in decades, James Brown helps utilities boost their already huge profits. For Montana Supreme Court, thumbs down on lobbyist James Brown. But Justice Ingrid Gustafson is a much better choice. Gustafson is fair and impartial, a proven record of protecting our Montana constitutional rights, standing up for our public lands and streams. Gustafson, on our side, not the greedy corporate special interests. A justice, not a lobbyist. Justice Ingrid Gustafson for Supreme Court. Paid for by Montanans for Liberty and Justice, 32 South Ewing, number 304, Helena, Montana, 59601. Alan Smith, Treasurer.
campaign seasons, midterms. You know, I don't know if that seemed long to you. It didn't necessarily a whole lot to me. But I know a guy who's been out there on the trail an awful lot. He's on the phone here, Commander Ryan Zinke, Congressional Western District Republican nominee. And as we kind of get set for Election Day on Tuesday, Ryan, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. I'm always curious about what you pick up on the trail because you're meeting people, you know, where they're at, so to speak. And you're always listening and trying to convey some things as well. What maybe is there a funny story? Is there who did you talk to that changed your mind about something?
Well, I do a lot of sign waving alongside the road, and you know, a lot of people honk. So, some people just love to give me the bird, and we'll go around the block twice to say something. So I should have community service hours to relieve some tension out there. But yeah, it's you know, last night I was in Plains, for example, at the VFW. We went into the Mint. Great reception, but really good people. You know, people are concerned. They want to live their life without a lot of government harassment. They want to make sure the kids have a future in Montana. But Montana has great, great people, and they're warm. They're generous. So you know. Should I be elected? It's a great honor to represent Montana, and you represent everybody. You know, not just the people that voted for you, but the people that didn't vote for you, the people that will never vote for you. And that's what a representative does. But you know, we're feeling pretty good, and you know, we also have some important other elections. The Supreme Court justice. I'm a big fan of Jim Brown. We need a court, and you know, if you pay attention to Montana Supreme Court, I mean, it's the most overturned court in the most liberal circuit in America, and we need to change that.
Yeah, probably needs to shake it up.
A few.
Yeah.
We need a view that at least represents, you know, Montana and our views on hunting and fishing and outdoors and the Constitution to make sure the judges aren't writing laws. They should be, you know, giving judgment on the law, but they shouldn't be having an agenda. Right. So, you know, I'm feeling good. You know, I think across Montana, I think our people are ready for a change, and they're ready for action because I think it's now in a point in our history in our state and the country. It is time, all hands on deck. It's our country. Let's take action to save it.
I was talking to Mike Cuff yesterday, state senator out of Lincoln County, and so high on Lincoln County and Mike, a good public servant. We got a minute and a half left here, so take your time there. But he said to ask Ryan about the rallies up there in Eureka and in Libby. And those are areas that I think sometimes maybe people forget about.
Well, I certainly, you know, I don't. Mineral County, Sanders County, Lincoln. Here you have three wonderful counties that have probably been hit hardest economically over 30 years. They live in a sea of trees. You can't cut one of them. We have some really bad judges that continue to, you know, to hollow out, you know, economic prosperity in those regions. And this can be turned around. And we should be at sustainable yields in our forests, making a working forest again, healthy forests, and make sure that wildlife, whether it's a grizzly bear or wolves, are adequately managed. Right now, they're not being managed, and you see the results. The elk herds are down in the northwest, where there's a lot of wolves, and they're causing a lot of havoc. There's, you know, like everything else, wildlife and trees in our forests need to be managed. But when you neglect them by leaving them alone and let nature take its course, nature can be pretty rough.
Ryan, thank you so much. I always say this: we don't have enough time. I know the final word is get out there and vote, eh?
His final word is get out and vote, and that's all our duty. And if we do, you know what? Let's win and take back America.
Thank you, Ryan. Appreciate that. You guys have a good weekend.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.